Well, hi, and welcome again to another verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. The Wash and Word is located in Churchill, Tennessee. Right now, we're on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill, and there you can come by and get your car washed. We do everything by hand. It's done gently and carefully. We treat every customer and every car like it's our own, and my name is Matthew Monona, along with my wife, Victoria. We own and operate this hand car washing business, and we do it so that we can get these Bible teachings into your ears. And the ways that you can listen to them are come by the Wash and Word and tune to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop throughout the day. You can come by even during closed business hours and just tune to 107.1 FM to hear them. You can go to the washandword.com website for information about the business, information about the ministry. You can download and listen to all of our archived verse-by-verse Bible teachings for free. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, washandword.com. All right, let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We're currently in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. We're going to pick it up in verse 2, and that's what we do in verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We just go systematically through entire books of the Bible, and we leave out nothing. And this format basically allows for me, the teacher, or I should say it doesn't allow for me, the teacher, to eliminate or leave out sections of Scripture that either maybe I'm not comfortable preaching or, you know, as a listener, you don't want to hear it. You know, there are parts of the Bible that admittedly are hard to preach on and hard to hear. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't teach them. And so by doing it in this style, we cover everything. And seriously, would you disagree with the statement that this world needs the entire counsel of God's word? You know, that's the whole concept here. And as Christians, we can't get by on Bible light or partial Christianity. We need all of God's counsel. I know I do. And so as I preach these messages, you know, I'm preaching to myself first and foremost. And should God allow these messages to go out and touch even another soul or multiple souls, then that's, you know, that's great and that's for God to do. But, you know, these messages, I prepare them and I preach them, then it starts with me, and they minister to me because I do everything I'm in my power to allow the Holy Spirit to preach these words, because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives us insight, and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. And so again, as these go forth, they're ministering to me. And hey, that'd be great if they'd minister to you too. But anyway, that being said, let's get back into verse 2 of chapter 10. And as we ended in our last teaching, the following verses in chapter 10 kind of read like Proverbs. So we'll take them kind of one or two, or, you know, one or two verses at a time, and just kind of see what Solomon has for us here. Now, Solomon, the great wise king of Israel, verse 2, he writes, "The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left." Oh, that's an open-ended scripture, isn't it? The heart of the wise inclines to the right, the heart of the fool to the left. Now, that was written long before there was any left or right wing extremist or left or right wing, you know, political platforms. But funny how that lines up. The heart of the wise to the right, the heart of the fool to the left. Of course, those of you on the left will buck such a verse. And hey, you know what? I said at the outset, not everything in the Bible we want to hear. But you know what? This is Solomon writing, and this is him writing long time ago. He goes on in verse 3. "Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is." So those are some pretty stark verses. Let's take a look at them real quick. I'd like to start off by making this application point. Direction does not confirm one's wisdom. Direction does not confirm one's wisdom. Solomon says, even a fool who may be on the right road going in the right direction is still a fool. And so we can't determine one's foolishness or wisdom based on the direction one is traveling. And how does one understand or discover whether that person is a fool? Or, you know, regardless of the road he's on, how does one discover one's own foolishness or that of the foolishness of one who's being spoken to or listened to? Well, Solomon says he shows everyone how stupid he is. And how does he do that? Usually by the words one speaks. I don't know who originally said this, but one of my favorite quotes is, better to remain silent and thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. Might have been Abraham Lincoln, but no truer words maybe have ever been spoken. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. Do you want to know or do you want to find out if someone's foolish or if they're wise? Just take the time to listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths. And that usually is a good determination of one's position when it comes to foolishness or wisdom. And attaching that to our verses, it's funny how those on the right think their words are wise and think those on the left are foolish. And those on the left, let's go ahead and say it, the Democrats or, you know, the liberals, that sort of section or that angle of society, well, they think that they're right. They think that their words are wise and that us over here on the conservative right are foolish. So, listen, it doesn't matter what side you're on. Solomon says it doesn't matter what road you're taking, what direction you are. That doesn't confirm wisdom. That doesn't determine whether you're right or whether you're wrong. Because again, those on the left think they're right and those on the right think that they're right and that their words are true and wise. So what determines it? Well, it's really quite simple. It has to go back to the Word of God. Ultimate foolishness is living a Christ-like life without Christ. And you can do all of the great and noble and moral things you think that you want to do, but outside of Christ or without Christ, they're foolishness. Let's look at verse 4. Maybe we can help kind of tie this up. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. What can we say about that? Well, when I read that, it reminded me of a proverb, probably written by him as well. In Proverbs 15:1, it says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And this is just another way of Solomon saying what he had said before. I remember a time when I was, 18 or 19 years old, and I was a young, stupid kid in a lot of ways, and I remember it was in South Florida, and I was driving my car, and I went to go hang a U-turn at a busy intersection, and, you know, I was only, for some reason, concerned about the people turning right to my left, and completely failed to look at the cars that were coming towards me. So I hung this U-turn, and this truck slammed into me. Totally my fault. It was a pickup truck, and out got... came a man and a woman, and she was holding on to one of her young children, and obviously she's very rattled, very upset. Because I had cut out in front of her, and they smashed into my car and totaled it, and they had the kids in the car, and so she gets out and she's screaming at me. She's like, "What the heck's the matter with you?" I'm dumbing it down to a rated G version, by the way, and I got out and I'm like. She's yelling at me, and I says, "I know, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." And she was expecting some kind of an argument or a fight. And I always remember this, like, She's yelling, "What is wrong with you? What did you do?" And I responded gently and kindly and apologetically, and she was accepting my apology, but she was still yelling. And it was so funny to witness. It stuck with me all these years. She's like, "Well, that's fine then," you know, and she's still yelling at me, but she's already. And what happened? Well, my gentle answer turned away her wrath. I mean, she calmed down almost in the next sentence, but just the whole. Content of what she was saying completely changed the moment I brought forth a gentle answer. It turned away her wrath, and I never saw Solomon's words come to life like they did that day. But that's all he's saying here. He's saying, you know, just be careful the way you speak. He put it as calmness can lay great errors to rest. Just a word to remember. Verses 5-7. "There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions." Oh, ain't that the truth? "While the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves." What is he saying here? This is obviously a contrast to position and power. And they are swapped in the observation that he's making here. He says it highlights an error that is often committed. And that error, and we find it a lot in the churches, but you also see it in political platforms and other places. The error that is committed a lot in this society is favoritism opposes wise leadership. Favoritism opposes wise leadership. And what I mean by that is you've seen it all the time. People get into a position and they appoint their friends to positions around them. Why? Well, because they're their friends. You see it all the time in coaching circles. You know, the moment a new head coach comes to the football team, what does he do? He usually fires most of the assistant coaches and he starts bringing in guys he's worked with before or friends of his, because favoritism is something that is a natural thing, but it opposes wise leadership. A wise leader will put into place those who will fill that position best, those who will fill that position with the wisest leadership. The Bible is clear throughout that favoritism is always rebuked in God's word because it is simply unwise. It isn't wise to promote someone out of favoritism when a more qualified, more godly person is available to fill any particular position. And not only that, but when a person is appointed or put into place just based on the merit of the person that they know, have you ever seen that happen? You know, you're the owner of the company you work for places one of his friends or relatives as your boss. Do you respect that guy? I mean, unless he's really a good worker and a good manager and a good person, you don't typically respect the ones who are appointed. You respect the ones who have earned their way into that position. So it doesn't work out. Favoritism and appointing in that respect, it doesn't work out usually because it doesn't earn the respect. You know, there's a big difference between demanding respect and commanding respect. Moving on, Solomon says in verse 8, "Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them, and whoever splits logs may be endangered by them." And we'll end with those two scriptures. They're pretty cut and dry, but if you want to take an application point with you for those scriptures, it's this. Living in fear of life inhibits the enjoyment of life. You know, he gives all these examples of what could happen while you're doing something. Well, that's life. Anything can happen at all times. Don't let that inhibit the enjoyment of life. I know so many people live in fear of getting hurt or losing something or whatever it is, and then they miss out on the enjoyment of life. The greatest example are germaphobes. You know, people that worry so much, that are afraid to take risks. That's just taking up parts of your life. So let's get out there and live a life that's enjoyable and pleasing to God. After all, isn't that why we're here? Well, come on back again tomorrow on this radio station, or come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're hearing these messages, and we look forward to you patronizing our business. You have a blessed day.